Now we come to a section beginning actually with verse 4, and it goes on down through verse 8 of chapter 3, where you have the judgment of the nations. And this reveals that God judges all the nations of this earth. You see, the God of the Bible is not a local deity. He's not one you put on a shelf. He's not one that is local or national. And that has been the great danger of the white race, of attempting to, as we have said, Christianize a people. And what we have done is we brought the gospel, but then we turn around and try to make them live as we live and to adopt our customs and our method. Well, there are a lot of different people on topside of this earth today, and they're all people for whom Christ died. And our business is to get them to hear the gospel, get the word of God to them, and then let them work their Christian life into their own customs and into their own patterns of life that they have. Just as when the gospel is brought to our ancestors, I'm told that mine were pagans eating raw meat living in a cave. Well, the gospel did a great deal for them. And the early missionaries that came to my ancestors didn't try to make them like they were. And apparently they developed their own civilization. And we should do the same thing with others. Now, the God of the Bible is the God of this universe. He is the creator of mankind and of the universe. And he is the redeemer of mankind. Now, notice, he's going to judge these other nations, not just his own people, and he judges other nations for sin. You see, God has put up certain standards that have become worldwide. They have been written into the Ten Commandments. God gave them to Moses because all nations have a sense of right and wrong. Now, they may vary on what is right and what's wrong. A missionary was telling me about a tribe that he had worked in out in the South Seas, I guess off the coast of Asia, not very far. And they were headhunters. They had been cannibals. Now, he said they had a high sense of honesty. He said that you could take your pocketbook with your money in it and put it down in the center of the tribe where they dwell. And you could leave it there for a week. Nobody would touch it. They had a high sense of honesty. But he said, of course, they didn't mind eating their mother-in-law for dinner. They'd have her for dinner, and you never know just exactly what they meant when they said they had their mother-in-law for dinner, whether she came over to eat with them or whether they ate her. But you see, they had a high sense of honesty. And that is something I don't think you'd be able to do in this country today. You leave your pocketbook for a moment. Lady told me that left her pocketbook in a department store, left it on the counter. She turned around. And then when she turned back, in less than a minute, the pocketbook was gone and no trace of it anywhere. But, of course, the thief wasn't going to have his mother-in-law for dinner that evening. You see, standards apparently vary. But God has given to the nations of the world a certain standard, and I think that you find them in all of the nations of the earth. No nation could be a civilized nation that didn't recognize some of these. Now, when they depart from the living and true God, then they go into the deepest kind of paganism and heathenism and reach a place where God gives them up, as we have seen. Now, will you notice, he begins his judgment of the nations. Verse 4, for Gaza shall be forsaken, and Ashkelon a desolation. They shall drive out Ashdod at noonday, and Ekron shall be rooted up. Now you see there are mentioned here four of the cities of the Philistines. Now they are going to be judged. Now somebody says, well, why didn't they mention Gath? Because that was a prominent place. Well, at this time, Gath was pretty much under the control of the southern kingdom. But these four cities, Gaza, Ashkelon, Ashdod, and Ekron, are to be judged. And he says Gaza shall be forsaken and Ashkelon a desolation. Now, it's interesting, Gaza is forsaken today. Ashkelon is a desolation. There is a place called Ashkelon, but it's not over the ruins of the old one. The old one is right down by the sea. And I've been there. The ruins of the Temple of Dagon are there. And then we're told they shall drive out Ashdod at noonday. Now, Ashdod was driven out. And the interesting thing, they did it at noonday. Now, in that land, those people always take off at noontime. That is, they have what is called south of the border, a siesta. In some places in South America, you couldn't get into a store from 12 to 2. You're just wasting your time if you want to go shopping because nothing will be open. But you could get into that store at 9 o'clock at night. They take off a siesta in the heat of the day. Here's Ashdod, and it gets pretty warm there, though it's by the sea. It gets very warm there in summer, and it will be destroyed. They'll drive them out at noonday. In other words, they take them off guard. Now, Ashdod was completely obliterated. Israel has built there apartment after apartment, and they also have a port there today, one that they've made. It's one of the principal ports now. They've recently put an oil refinery there. But in that day, it was absolutely cleaned off, and no ruins there at all. And Ekron, it says, shall be rooted up. Well, it was rooted up. It was removed. And now he says, verse 5, woe unto the inhabitants of the seacoast. All these places are along the seacoast. The nation of the Kerithites, and some of these would call them Cherithites. And may I say to you that I'm not sure that you could argue with either pronunciation, because generally it's Kerithites. But what about the word church? And that's a C-H, and you don't call it Kirch. However, they do call it in Scotland the Kirk, and it means the same thing, the nation of the Kerithites. Now, the Kerithites were people that actually came from the island of Crete, and they evidently were Philistines. The word Philistine actually means an emigrant, somebody that emigrated to that country. And that, by the way, ought to answer the question that some people have raised, the liberal especially, what right did Israel have to drive out the Philistines? That was their native land. It was not the native land. Israel was there long before the Philistines were there, actually. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were in that land, and their offspring were in that land, then went down to the land of Egypt. And in that interval, the Philistines, that means emigrants, came into that country. Now, they are to be judged. He says, the word of the Lord is against you, O Canaan, the land of the Philistines. I will even destroy thee, that there shall be no inhabitant. And by the way, when was the last time you saw a Philistine? They've disappeared. And the seacoast shall be dwellings and cottages for shepherds and folds for flocks. And that took place and existed for actually over 1,000 years, almost 1,900 years. Now, verse 7, and the coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Judah. They shall feed there. In the houses of Ashkelon shall they lie down in the evening, for the Lord their God shall visit them and turn away their captivity.